Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. 12 days after Hamas terrorists killed at least 1,400 people across Israeli villages, President Biden visited Israel in a show of unwavering U.S. support. The president also cautioned Israel to do everything it can to prevent casualties as it battles Hamas in Gaza. Airstrikes have led to more than 3,400 Palestinian deaths.
President Biden says he is outraged and saddened by the loss of life at the hospital in Gaza and reiterated the U.S. assessment that Israel was not responsible.
Based on the information we've seen to date, it appears the result of an errant rocket fired by a terrorist group in Gaza.
A spokesperson for the National Security Council going further in a statement saying that while the U.S. continues to collect information, that current assessment is based on analysis of overhead imagery, intercepts, and open source information. Karen Travers, ABC News.
Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio failed for a second time to get enough votes to become speaker. This is ABC News. More than 2 months after the deadly wildfire destroyed the town of Lahaina on Maui, students are finally returning to classrooms.
It's been a controversial move to reopen campuses in Lahaina. Some parents are worried about toxins in the soil from the fire. Students have been traveling long distances to schools in other parts of Maui. This mom says she understands the worry, but she believes it's safe.
I mean, they spent 2 months testing everything and cleaning all the classrooms out, the schools, removing debris.
Those children who attended schools that burned will now go to other Lahaina campuses, some expanding classroom capacity using tents. Alex Stone, ABC News.
In London, climate activist Greta Thunberg charged with a public order offense. The 20-year-old arrested along with half a dozen other protesters during demonstrations against an oil and gas industry conference. Protesters accused fossil fuel companies of deliberately slowing the transition to renewable energy for higher profits. Rena Roy, ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know.
A Fond du Lac County Sheriff canine deputy who was injured in the line of duty is up and walking. He was shot when a sheriff's deputy and a suspect exchanged gunfire Saturday night. The dog, Iroh, has the help of casts, but is much further along than expected.
It turns out the Great Pumpkin does exist. Civic Media's James Kelly.
There's a new state record for the largest pumpkin ever grown in the state of Wisconsin. This past weekend, Brian Mateowitz unveiled the pumpkin he grew in Eau Claire, weighing in at a whopping 2,420 pounds. The oversized fruit is now the heaviest recorded pumpkin in Wisconsin state history. Mateowitz told WQOW that even he was surprised by the weight of the pumpkin, saying he initially thought he misread the scale and that it was 400 pounds lighter. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Charlie Brown would be thrilled. Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Thanks for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell them.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan failing again on the second ballot for speaker. We're going to talk about President Biden going to Israel. I watched his comments. It was magnificent. But I'm going to start with the speaker race. Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, remember, yesterday he came 20 votes short in the Republican caucus. The Republican caucus has, well, actually 21 votes. They have 221 votes. One of their representatives was ill and couldn't be there, so they had 220 present. And Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan got 220. In other words, he lost 20 people of his own caucus, which, this is an interesting statistic, is the lowest total of any speaker candidate in modern history. Now, why is that? Because usually what happens in both parties, there are people that want it, two or three of them, they have a vote, secret ballot in the Republican caucus. And then when one of them wins, even if he only has, or she, you know, half the votes, everybody else rallies around. They say, okay, that's our guy, that's our gal, that's who we're going to vote for. Then they go on the floor and every Republican, if it's a Republican, votes for that individual. Same with the Democrats. You know, this, Nancy Pelosi had some opposition. There are two or three people that ran against her for speaker. She won in this private caucus, secret ballot. But when they went out on the floor, everybody voted for her. That's how it usually works. Here, you have this clown, Gymnasium Jordan, this guy. He loses initially to Scalise, but Scalise then gets put on up to the floor, and his thugs knife Scalise, so Scalise can't get it. And then Donald Trump attacks Scalise for having cancer. He has multiple myeloma. And of course, he did it with crocodile tears. Poor Scalise, maybe he should take some time to take care of his health. So then this clown, Gymnasium Jim JYM Jordan, comes forward and he gets the majority. He gets a big majority in about 126 votes in the secret caucus. So normally they go out and all 220, 221 of them would vote for the guy. They can't stand the guy. So last time, yesterday, he got 200 votes. This time he got 199 votes. He lost two more people. So we're going to get into that a little bit. This is, but I want to explain why I think he did so poorly. He's a right-wing guy. McCarthy was seen as not right-wing enough. Trump endorsed Gymnasium Jim Jew M. Jordan. So when McCarthy runs, eight of them stick a knife in him. Okay. You'd think that when Jordan runs, those eight supported Jordan. Trump supported Jordan. They're all Trumpers. So you'd think he'd get unanimous in the Republican Party. No, he didn't. Why didn't he? Because this is the kind of attacks that they did against moderate Republicans in the Republican caucus to force them to flip over and support Gymnasium Jordan. Here's an example. It's a guy named Bacon. I'm not kidding. That's his last name, Bacon, like bacon and eggs. Okay. He's in Nebraska. He's a moderate. His wife, congressman's wife, gets an anonymous email that says, quote, "How come your husband won't vote for Jordan? He won't have a political career very long if he doesn't." That's sort of mafia stuff. And it's anonymous. She was terrific. Mrs. Bacon, she really was terrific. She goes, who is this? And then I'll tell you what, they come back. They're anonymous. They're skunks. They won't identify themselves. And here's their response to who is this? So now you won't answer why he won't vote for Jordan. Now, some people, this guy's a congressman, that's his wife. They don't get government protection, but a lot of them are using their campaign funds to have protection. They were unintimidated. But if you got an email like that, and it wouldn't be in the context of a speaker vote, but if you're a poll worker, if you are a candidate for office that they don't like, your wife gets something like that, that's toxic. That's toxic. It has threatening overtones. Jordan was walking down the hallway. I saw the interview. You know, they hang around these people with microphones trying to get him to say something. And somebody asked him the question yesterday, do you think that Joe Biden was legitimately elected in 2020? Do you think that Joe Biden was legitimately elected in 2020? He was. Everybody says that. 60 judges said that. He won't answer. He continues to be an election denier. And something else that bothered me, and then we're going to go and talk about some of the people that voted for him and some who didn't vote for him. He adamantly opposes aid to Ukraine. Adamantly. He said there will never be aid to Ukraine on my watch. Suddenly, I see some accounts of interviews with people who said, well, I talked to him privately, and he told me he would probably vote for aid to Ukraine. Let me tell you something. When somebody like that says, listen, I might change my mind, I probably would. The minute he's speaker, he'll stick a knife in you. He won't do it. I told you yesterday about the North Carolina legislature. The North Carolina has a Democratic governor. And the Republicans passed terrible legislation. The governor vetoes it. So there's a vote going to be planned for veto override, and the Dems there at the time were hanging on to enough seats to deny an override. That's changed, but at this point, that's what they did. I think that was when John Lewis died. It was one of the great civil rights icons. The Dems in North Carolina all wanted to go to the service up in Washington, so they went to the Republican leadership. They said, we want to go to the service, but we won't go if you're going to do the vote. The Republicans said, don't worry. You have our word. We won't do the vote till you get back from the service. The minute they left town, they held the vote. And they overrode the governor's veto. There was litigation over it. And the court said, if politicians lie to each other, that is not actionable. Just take that into account the next time they give you their word. Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan cannot be trusted with any of this stuff. He can't be, his word can't be trusted. If he had gotten in, he would not have put in a budget that mirrored the deal that McCarthy and Biden reached back in the April, May time period in the debt limit deal. he would not permit Ukraine aid to come to the floor. He would not permit it. This guy would do everything in his power to ensure that his master Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump, would win in 2024 by speaking about it, by controlling what gets to the floor and so forth. He's toxic. He's dangerous. He could not be permitted, to serve as speaker. People say stuff like, well, he never passed a bill. He never even got a bill out of committee. Right. That's true. But there's a lot more toxic reasons why he should not. In this new vote where he lost, he went to 199 from 200. They have 221 votes, but one of them is sick. So only 220 of them showed. So he lost 21 votes this time. Last time he lost 20. There is a growing sentiment. And I got to confess that I was in error. I thought this Tom Cole from Oklahoma was a good guy. He's not a good guy. He nominated Gymnasium Jordan. He nominated him and said plenty of false things about him. Like, you know, he could work across the aisle and he's a good guy. And, you know, we need him and all this. Well, here's the deal. There's a growing press. And I also didn't think this, but there's a lot of pressure being put on Democrats and Republicans to give powers to this Patrick McHenry of North Carolina. Now, when I first of all, guy's named Patrick McHenry. We had a guy in Milwaukee one time named Jesse James who ran, you know, he changed his name to Jesse James to run for office. We had another guy who was running for sheriff and he changed his name to White Earp, thinking he could get elected sheriff. You have guys like this. So a guy goes, well, his name is Patrick McHenry. It's a little close to the patriot Patrick Henry. I thought, come on. Turns out he's legit. They asked Hakeem Jeffries about this. And I saw the interview with Hakeem Jeffries. And they said, is there any talk about giving speaker powers by majority of the House to Patrick McHenry, just so we can start getting this legislation pushed forward? Here's what Hakeem Jeffries said, quote, I have respect for Patrick McHenry. He's respected on our side of the aisle. There are a host of other Republicans who are respected on our side. James Jordan is not one of them. That says to me that there are discussions going on across the aisle between Democrats. And, you know, Hakeem Jeffries is the minority. He'd be the speaker if we have a majority. For him to say that suggests that somebody on the Republican side has talked to him saying, look, we can, you know, we're not going to get, a ton of votes for Patrick McHenry because the Gates types and the Jordans type won't do anything. But if we can get 180 votes out of our 220, can you get us the other 37? And it sounds to me like Hakeem Jeffries would. And everything I'm beginning to hear, this guy, Patrick McHenry, I never knew much about him, but he sounds like a guy that maybe is pragmatic enough to do the job. What I would say to the Democrats in the House, make very sure without any winking and wincing and any of this stuff that they say, we'll put a deal on the floor that mirrors the agreement between McCarthy and Biden, and we will put full Ukraine and full Israel aid on the floor so we can vote on it. Because 350, 400 people would vote for that. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
We'll be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
Trunk or treat, I'm going trunk or treating.
Terry, you got to be talking about one of the Halloween events coming up at both Green Bay area YMCAs, Saturday, October 28th. It's fun for the whole family and includes games, a costume contest, and of course, Halloween treats, my favorite.
Oh, and Todd, it's happening at the East Side YMCA from 1 to 4, then the West Side YMCA from 4 to 7. But the trunk or treat, well, that one's only on the East Side between 1 and 2. Decorate your car and the kids get treats
from your trunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's all free. Would you rather help out? You can volunteer for any of the Halloween events on Saturday, October 28th at both Green Bay YMCAs.
Find all the information at greenbayymca.org. greenbayymca.org. Keeping you connected to your community. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies tonight with scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 50. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 59. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 45. Mid-50s. Friday, chance for scattered rain showers. Turning cooler Saturday with highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 66.
Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, after that vote came down, and they're not sure whether they're going to do another one this afternoon. Apparently, Jordan still has some control over that or what they're going to do later. Maybe it's going to break on this hour. I don't know. But there is sentiment building for this Patrick McHenry to give him, giving him limited power of a full speaker for 30 days, 60 days. And if he does a decent job, he may end up being the speaker. And this is a guy that got plucked really out of left field. There's some very funny things that happened after the vote today. Some people were texting to Jordan, no jacket, no gavel, no service, because he thinks he's a man of the people. He runs around without a jacket and all that. One of the funniest things, well, one thing that was very funny, but one thing that was very sad, Elise Stefanik, she is the number three in the hierarchy, or was right now. Number one was Kevin McCarthy. Of course, he's toast. Number two is Scalise, and he bowed out. But number three, she was number three, the head of the caucus. She took Liz Cheney's position when they deep six Liz Cheney. And she nominates, she's one of the nominating speakers for Jordan. And I mean, I don't know, you know, do these people know anything? Listen to this. She goes, he is the voice of the people. We need him, whether on the wrestling mat or the committee room, we need him. I mean, there's an old Spanish saying. It's a great saying. It says, do not mention the rope in the house of the hanged man. Do not mention the rope in the house of the hanged man. Do not mention the wrestling mat in the house of Jordan. Are you crazy? Immediately, four wrestlers who'd wrestled for him put out a statement saying he's not fit to be speaker. Four of them. And that is because I think he takes the position he's not a mandatory reporter. He, first of all, lied and said he didn't know anything about the team doctor sexually assaulting wrestlers, you know, boys who were wrestling. But he had to know. I mean, the doc goes in, the doc's not subtle. The doc goes in, he pulls people's pants down right in the bathroom. They go, doc, that ain't right. One of them said that, doc, that ain't right. He doesn't say anything. Claims he didn't know. Well, that's a lot of baloney. These four wrestlers, four of them said he did know. So why do you mention the rope in the house of the hangman? Why do you mention the wrestling mat in the House where that he'd like to be the speaker. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
Well, a couple things. Real quickly with this Patrick McHenry, not really too crazy about where some of his campaign money comes from. He's down with payday loan companies, but that's, you know, to be expected. You take money wherever you can get it, right? Do you think, Matt, and I know this couldn't happen, but let's say it could, if you could have a vote where it was totally anonymous, no one knows how you voted, do you think you could find five Republicans decent enough to swing over to Jeffries, and then we could have a functioning House of Representatives in this country?
I would love that. I think half of the Republicans would love that. The problem is the House rules do not permit for a secret vote on the floor. That's the problem. And any Republican who did that would be primaried and probably beaten by the same people that beat Liz Cheney. And that was in Wyoming, and her father was vice president of the United States, and they still beat her. I love it. I love the idea. I wish it could happen. I really do. Going back to the lines, Jean and Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Glad you were watching what I was watching. We were suffering in pain together. We all can suffer together. It's unbelievable. But, I think that, you know, even bringing that up in our environment right now, as far as having Akeem Jeffries, those people would be ousted. Those people would be condemned. I mean, it's like there's a civil war going on watching in our Congress. But I'm proud of the heroes. I'm proud of those people that put in other names and did not support this guy even under duress when they were threatening and pulling all kinds of stuff on these people. They stood up for America. So there's still a few, none from the state of Wisconsin, but a few Republicans that are holding the fort down to save our country. And I'm really proud of my call and thank them. And the other people should, too, because this is unbelievable, Matt. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this in your life? It's so alarming. It's like I can't sleep at night if Jim Jordan gets that speakership. I mean,
well.
Please, thank you very much, though, for taking my call, and you have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Gene, thank you. But, not only that, he'd be second in line to the presidency. To the presidency, this guy. You can't have that. You just can't have it. And to Dick of Madison, I say, yeah, I'm not crazy about Patrick McHenry. There was a guy named Jesse James and a guy named White Earp who ran in Milwaukee. This guy, apparently, that's his name, okay? Okay. And, but... when I hear Hakeem Jeffries said he's respected on his side of the aisle, he may get his money from payday loans or whatever. All I'm interested in is we don't have a sociopath, character assassin, and a thief. And that is what most of the Republican caucus is. So if this guy is like a diamond in a coal bin or something, he ain't a real diamond maybe, but hey, you got to take what you can get. You got to take what you can get. And to follow up on what Gina Beauclair said, all six Republicans in Milwaukee in Wisconsin voted for Jim Jordan, all six of them. So the next time Gallagher or Stile or any of these characters come shining around, Van Orden, and they go, oh, I'm a moderate, throw them out. Throw them out. They voted for him, all six. The 21 people who voted for other people, they voted for McCarthy, Scalise, this one, that one. They were true heroes, and they were not in Wisconsin. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place.
Girl, it's a better life for me and you. From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. 12 days after Hamas terrorists killed at least 1,400 people across Israeli villages, President Biden visited Israel in a show of unwavering U.S. support. The president also cautioned Israel to do everything it can to prevent casualties as it battles Hamas in Gaza. Airstrikes have led to more than 3,400 Palestinian deaths.
President Biden says he is outraged and saddened by the loss of life at the hospital in Gaza and reiterated the U.S. assessment that Israel was not responsible.
Based on the information we've seen to date, it appears a result of an errant rocket fired by a terrorist group in Gaza.
A spokesperson for the National Security Council going further in a statement saying that while the U.S. continues to collect information, that current assessment is based on analysis of overhead imagery, intercepts, and open source information. Karen Travers, ABC News.
Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio failed for a second time to get enough votes to become speaker. This is ABC News.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know. Two women from Oshkosh are dead after a rollover crash Tuesday in Winnebago County. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says the single vehicle crash happened about 3:15 p.m. on County Road M north of Danville Road in the town of Utica. Authorities say the car was headed south but lost control and entered a ditch where it flipped several times. Multiple agencies responded. The crash is under investigation. A Marinette County man will serve 18 months in federal prison for PPP fraud. Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Robert J. Solberg, age 39, of Crivitz, applied for the Paycheck Protection Program, known as PPP. He received over $20,000. To obtain the money, Solberg claimed he was not under indictment or convicted of a felony. However, he had recently entered a guilty plea to conspiracy to commit odometer tampering. The judge said the 18-month term in federal prison is warranted.
Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mino and the Mayor.
Right. Do you ever have ladies come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they do.
They do, huh?
And how many, if any, are married to people like John Mino?
What's that supposed to mean?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
And in Facebook pages. Want even more? Civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-278. Now we're going right to the lines. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up. Start with Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Great discussion, as always. The first point I would add, I just had 2 points to make, Matt. First off, is that information about what Mr. Jim Jordan did during his time in Ohio is it's still going to be opened up even more by a documentary executive produced by George Clooney through his Smokehouse Productions. It's going to be on HBO coming up in the next several months. So that line of information is only going to get bigger and bigger, and what is now a dribble is going to become more like a rushing Colorado River in terms of what his actions were back then. The other thing that I would ask, Matt, and that is about the votes in Jeffries, Hakeem Jeffries. As I understand it, for 13 times, Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic candidate, has gotten the most votes. So, you know, in a democracy, one should assume he would win. But as I understand it, under the rules of the Constitution, it has to be the majority of the people within the Congress, excuse me, the House at that particular time. If it's a problem for Republicans to jump over and to vote for Hakeem Jeffries, how could they could get around it by just saying present rather than voting for anybody when it comes their turn to record their vote? Or they could simply not be there when it's their time for a vote. They could have that oh-so-awful sprained ankle or a really bad case of the flu, whatever, so that would reduce down the number of Republicans that are voting, and Hakeem Jeffries could be in a position of winning, which I think is really what the Dems should push for. This idea of going for Patrick McHenry is scarier than all get out to me. We don't know anything about this guy. He's new. What do we know about him? If he has anything like the rest of the Republicans who are in there, they'll be like the Republicans were with the funeral of John Lewis, and they'll make a promise and they won't stick with it. So I would say for the Dems being in the position where they are, the argument they make is vote for Hakeem Jeffries or this is going to go on for the next several months. So my thoughts, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say.
Right. That's an excellent call with a lot of profound sub questions. Let me just hit it quickly. And first of all, you're right. It takes a majority, not a plurality. For plurality, Hakeem Jeffries would be the speaker right now because he got the most votes, but he didn't get 50% plus one. So that's number one. Number two, you're absolutely right that one way to basically solve this would be not vote, you know, vamoose, get out of town, or just vote present or not vote, just sit there. You don't have to vote. Now, to do that, that would require there were eight people who voted, I think, for McCarthy, seven for Scalise, and I think six for other people. Emmer got one, and this a guy named Lee Zeldin from New York, who used to be a congressman and ran for governor, didn't make it, but ran a strong race. Anyway, if those people, or if frankly, only something out of 20, let me just do quick the math, this guy gets 199. You could let him have 10 of them could vote for him. But if the other 10 didn't vote, Hakeem Jeffries would be the speaker. The reason I don't think that is likely is simply because if somebody did that, and you know, people aren't dumb. I mean, they know what they're doing. They get primaried and they lose. Your final thing is, I couldn't agree more. I don't know anything about Patrick McHenry. The other day, I was disparaging him, and I talk about Jesse James and White Earp and all that. But when Hakeem Jeffries was asked about it, he did not rule it out. He knows that in a Republican majority House, he can't be Speaker simply because people would lose their seats, and very few of them have the courage of somebody like Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger. So it's very likely going to be a Republican or no speaker. You point out, well, why don't we sweat him for a couple of months? And the problem with that is we've got to get aid to Israel right now. We really do. And we've got to get aid to Ukraine. We've got to pass some kind of spending bill or the House, the government shuts down on November 17. And today is October 18. So as nice as that would be if we had a functioning budget right now that went out a year, and if we had, the full amount appropriated for Israel and Ukraine, yeah, I would like that very much. I think that would be terrific, but it's too dangerous right now. Thanks so much for calling. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next, and the rest of you don't hang up. I'll get you. Andrew of Detroit, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Professor. It just makes me sad that these Rust Belt states are not hanging together. Their Congress people are not hanging together and voting the same. It makes me very sad that a state, Wisconsin, I consider a sister state, has gone so far MAGA, let's destroy everything in Wisconsin. It's just terrifying. Beyond that, I'm wondering, Professor, is there anything Biden can do with money that's already been appropriated? Like, I hear there's excess money from COVID and whatever. Is there anything he can do with that money to help aid Israel at this time? Ukraine, I guess we'll get to, but I don't know. Is there nothing he can do with money that's already been appropriated but is not being used the way it's supposed to be? Thanks, Professor.
Yeah, no, very, very good. Very, very good question. I'll answer it right now. But here's the deal. When you say that, you know, we're MAGA over here, because you're in Detroit, Michigan's a sister state. The only reason it looks that way is because of gerrymandering. If there were a legislature that had fair maps, if there were a legislature with fair maps, it wouldn't be that way at all. That's what we're fighting right now. With regard to what Biden can do, he can do some things by executive order. If, God forbid, they don't come up with a speaker and the Republicans, some of them, they don't want aid and all that kind of stuff. There is a fund. I think it's, and don't hold me to this, something like $80 billion, quite a bit of money. It's not a rainy day fund, but there is money in reserve from other programs that he could tap, and he will tap it. He will tap it. But why should we get to that? Why should we get to that? He has put in a request to Congress for $100 billion, $100 billion, a year's aid to Israel, a year's aid to Ukraine, and money for immigration at the border. He put that in. That has got to pass. There are Republicans who don't want to give any money to Ukraine. There are a few Republicans like Tommy Tuberville, but there are some Democrats on the far left who don't want to give aid to Israel. It is absolutely important that the overwhelming majority of Congress that wants to give aid to both is permitted to vote on it. Thanks very much. We're going back to the lines. Do not hang up. We'll get you in order. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. The bottom line here, Jim Jordan cannot be in charge of anything, not even a light switch, for Christ's sakes, in Washington, because he's a Trump surrogate. Trump is I'll put it in my own words, he's a traitor. He tried to overturn a free and fair election. I don't know how it gets any worse than that, other than giving away secrets. But Jim Jordan has you just can't have him as speaker. So whatever they can work out to find a speaker that is, you know, trustworthy, at least seems to be trustworthy. You have to go on with the country's business here. So I hope they can work something out. The good news is Jordan, I don't think, the way things stand now, is going to get this, and thank goodness for that. So that's my 2 cents today. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you very much. Excellent comments. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Bill?
You know, two things. One, we need a program. There's so many clowns in this circus. I can't keep track of them. I can't keep track of their felonies. I want a scorecard. I got to know all the mob. But really, what they are, what they have to be called, are their domestic terrorists. But plain and simple. And enough is enough. And thanks to your show, you're creating, whether your listeners know it or not, somewhat what I'd call political activists. If you're a political activist, I know I have, I know Gene has, I know many others have. I'm calling their offices daily. I called Ron Johnson a while back, and I said to the person answering the phone, you tell Ron, resign now, avoid the embarrassment. He's got so many charges hanging over his head he's running away from. Unfortunately, we don't have enough Democrats or attorney generals or Department of Justice that's got a backbone to go after these people. But once they realize that the public is turning on them, calling them domestic terrorism, I guarantee you the Department of Justice, the rest, they'll step up and they'll do it because they can see this wave coming. As far as Jordan goes, your previous caller, right, he's not able to turn on the lights. And if he was in grade school, he's not even eligible to feed the fish. So, he's the most worthless piece of junk, and I'm trying to not swear, that I have ever heard in my life. But I'm going to put a challenge out. I mean, here's my challenge. Anywhere, anytime, It'd be on my dime. You come out here, I'll buy you lunch. I'll take on any Republican in a debate. I just have two rules. You show respect, you don't shout, you don't swear, and you don't talk over each other. I'll debate them. I tried to get Dan O'Donnell to do that. He ran away like a little child. He knows me. He won't. He doesn't even want to talk to me anymore. Why? Because I'm going to ask him tough questions. And I'd love to debate Rojo. First thing I'd ask him, what are you doing on the 4th of July a couple of years ago? How much money did you take? And number two, tell me about the electoral votes that you said you only participated in for 3 seconds. I want to hear it right now. I am so fed up with these people. But there's plenty of Republicans in our state that might take my challenge. So I hope you're listening, Republicans.
I hope they do. I hope they do, Bill. Thank you very much. I love your calls. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, thanks so much to Paul, Dick, and to Joe. I love Joe. I love Joe's thinking that way. But, I mean, let's face it. This all traces back to, you know, Donald Trump and his attempt to overthrow the election, which, as was pointed out to me yesterday, you know, traced back to before the election even happened, Donald Trump was setting this up. He did not form a transition team to work with Joe Biden, the incoming administration. They were plotting this all along, and the fact of the matter is that these guys were plotting against the Constitution of the United States, and I'm talking to you, Mr. Fitzgerald, and all the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin, and as Paul just pointed out, Ron Johnson, and Jim Jordan was, you know, at the heart of this conspiracy against the United States of America, a clear violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, you know, that guarantees us the right to vote and to have our votes recognized. And it was a clear abridgment of those rights, you know, on the part of a sworn legislator. I mean, it is just...
Right. Well, here's the deal. It was a violent thing that he did, that the insurrectionists did. Crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump was behind it. And Jim Jordan's his guy. And Donald Trump even insulted and attacked Scalise, saying he has cancer, he should, quote, take care of his health, end quote. These were crocodile tears. He doesn't care if Scalise lives or die. It dies. And all I can say, it's a happy day for America now. The gymnasium Jim Jam Jordan actually lost votes. He lost 20 votes yesterday. He lost 21 today. Four people flipped to go against him and two flipped to go back to him. So he netted out two that were after him. That's got to continue. But what do we do? What do we do? And Hakeem Jeffries, whom I respect quite a bit, has said, well, Patrick McHenry has some respect on our side of the aisle. I've never met Patrick McHenry. I've got to take that for as gospel. And then Hakeem knows what he's doing. The rest of them know what they're doing. They sit down with this Henry and you say, look, guy, just put it on the floor. I don't care if you speak against it. Although the speaker is not supposed to speak on a bill and he doesn't get to vote on a bill. He's supposed to be the speaker for the whole Congress. Just put it out there and you'll have about 160 Republicans will vote for it and 200 Democrats. And we're golden. We've done the deal, because otherwise you can take some money out of the old weasel sack and give it to Israel out of other programs. You can't fund the government for the next year, which is the problem. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And the flames went higher.
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire. And it burns, burns, burns.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows around 50, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 59 tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows around 45, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 56 Friday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 51, overcast skies Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 65.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt the Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk about Joe Biden's visit to Israel. And I watched his comments, which watched quite a bit of it. And I've got to say something. I don't think I've ever been prouder of a U.S. president than I was to see Joe Biden fly to Israel in the middle of this war and stand there and stand with not just leadership in Israel, but with first responders, people whose relatives were kidnapped and taken to a Gaza, people whose relatives were butchered and tortured by Hamas. And he said one thing that really stuck with me. Joe said this. He said, I want everybody to know you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. You don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. The word Zionist and Zionism in some quarters on the right, the far right and the far left, is used as a pejorative, but it's not a pejorative. What it simply is the right of Jewish people to live in peace in their own country. You remember that they were subject to genocide in Europe by Europeans, by Germans, but not just by Germans. Much of Europe was Nazified. You know, you had Franco in Spain, you had Mussolini in Italy, you had collaborators in France, and Eastern Europe had a lot of problems that way too. So what are they going to do? Joe Biden repeated his story about Golda Meir. Golda Meir, a great prime minister of Israel. Many people may not know that Golda Meir is a graduate of North Division High School in Milwaukee. She was from Milwaukee. She lived in Milwaukee. She taught school in MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools, in Milwaukee in the River West area. Anyway, this was right after the Yom Kippur War in October of 1973, and Joe Biden had only been in the Senate less than a year. And he talked to her and he said, I'm flattered that you'd meet with me. She said, would you like to have a picture? He said, well, yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, he's a newbie. He's nobody. And they're standing there. And he said, I just want you to know how remarkable it was that you were able to fight off so many countries who attacked you by surprise. And Golda Meir said, well, we won because we have a secret weapon. And Joe said, what's your secret weapon? And she said, our secret weapon is that we have nowhere else to go. They're remarkable people. And this is not to say that Palestinians are not also remarkable people and good people. There are many of them. I know a number of Palestinians, and I am close friends with several Palestinians. But what happened a week ago Saturday, by Hamas, was Nazi-style torture of civilians. And I want to address one issue that came up the other day. It was the bombing of the hospital in Gaza. Terrible thing. Should never have happened. Hamas blamed Israel. Joe Biden was briefed on it. The CIA looked at it, or NSA looked at it. And he announced in Israel, he said, American intelligence is certain that that bombing did not come from an Israeli rocket. And he was kind of nice to the other side. He didn't mean to be. He kept calling them the other team, which I thought was a little bit fuzzy, but he had the guts to go to Israel in the middle of this conflict. He said it is a rocket that came from the other side, from the Gaza side, as it turned out, Islamic Jihad, that went off course and hit the hospital. The proof that has come out so far is that the Israeli missiles leave a crater. They're much more substantial. And to kill, I think they said 500 people, that's what it would require. American intelligence doesn't believe that number is accurate. They believe that Hamas has exaggerated or been untruthful about it. And there have been a number of instances where rockets from Islamic Jihad to go into Israel have malfunctioned and fallen in Gaza. They've also picked up some phone calls among Hamas people, because now they're listening in all the conversations in which they alluded to it was on their side. There is only one thing that I disagree with Biden on in that recounting. And that is because I practiced law for 40 years. And I don't know a lawyer who's practiced law for 40 years who believes in coincidences. Coincidences are very, very rare. For a hospital to be blown up the day before Joe Biden is going to come to Israel and meet with leaders from Egypt and Jordan, in Jordan. The odds of that happening on purpose by the Israelis are slim to none. I do not believe that the other side did it by accident. That was the most effective way, first of all, of making sure that the Egyptians and the Jordanians and even the Saudis, because they wouldn't see Blinken for a day or so and stood him up. That is the easiest way to make sure that they can't possibly meet with Joe Biden, because it inflamed everybody in their society. So I would say this. What's going on is a terrible, terrible thing. What Hamas did, and this is a new tactic, is invade Israel in a free society. You can walk around, everybody kind of looks alike and all that, most societies, and you don't question people. And they do the utmost savage form of torture that is more reminiscent of Iran, more reminiscent of ISIS and the Nazis. There has to be a response, but people over time forget the horror of what they did. People's memories fade, but they get nothing but TV images of the bombing that results, which, by the way, has killed many, many Hamas officials. They bomb areas that are the entrances to the tunnels. Israel has said that it will permit humanitarian aid, but there have to be Red Cross visits to and then they said they'd permit humanitarian aid even without this, but their first request was Red Cross visits to the hostages to make sure they're okay. So I stand with Joe Biden and I stand with Israel. I am delighted he went over. It took a lot of guts to go into that war zone. Trump didn't even go to Vietnam because he had bone spurs. We come to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
You know him as as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And ABC always News. Streaming on